Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you are listening to Fiber Talk, that twice weekly podcast for people who make beautiful art with needle and thread.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you. And this time, hey, we're sponsored by this show, back up the truck here. Nicola Parkman from Hands Across the Sea Samplers joins us. Hi, Nicola.
Hello, Gary. Hello, Christine. Hello, all our listeners.
And
hello.
We're going to talk about reproduction samplers, but we're also going to talk about a new sampler Nicola has coming out, limited edition one. One of those get it quickly or it'll be gone deals.
Yeah.
So, yes. Sponsored by Sassy Jacks. So, Kim Young at Sassy Jacks Stitchery sponsoring this show. Really appreciate it. Let's see. The copy says, a vibrant young needlework shop located in the Blue Ridge Mountains, a few miles north of Asheville, North Carolina. Sassy Jacks offers fine needlework supplies for cross-stitch, needlepoint, punch needle, and embroidery, and is home of many beautiful antique samplers on permanent display for visitors to enjoy. Located at 30 North Main Street, Weaverville, North Carolina. Online, sassyjacksstitchery.com, where beautiful things happen one stitch at a time. Okay, that's real nice, Kim, but she has built, in very short order, a really nice place and a, I think, kind of a go-to spot on the east half of the country for stitching and samplers, and the lineup of people that she has coming in doing classes is rather impressive. Now, Nicola, you did one in January, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed my time at Sassy Jacks. You know, you walk in the store and it's buzzing. It's full of wonderful goodies for a needleworker and the most beautiful antique samplers. It's definitely a destination store.
Yeah, and then she's working... Well, you have another one coming up. Are you going again to, or coming to the States again to do a talk there?
Yes, I'm coming in August to do a workshop at Sassy Jack Stitchery, a very beautiful sampler from the early 1700s. And this project is exclusive to Sassy Jack Stitchery. It's a beautiful and exciting sampler. It's a band sampler, but it's just when a band sampler is starting to transition into a sampler with a border. But this one, although it has a border, is very clearly a band sampler. And there's the most beautiful Adam and Eve band with a gorgeous moon and a sun. And it's going to be very exciting. The class is going to be focusing on this particular band where there is some freehand work, but it's all counted out for the stitchers. And I showed this band sampler when I was there in January, and people are very enthusiastic about doing the class. So what we've had to do, it was going to be one 2-day workshop, and it became 2 2-day workshops, and we're now going to be doing 3 2-day workshops back to back so that we can accommodate everybody who wishes to participate. I think that today Kim is hoping to have full details up on her website for people who haven't but would like to attend. So it's grab those places quickly while you can.
Yep. Okay, so there. That's just one of the things Kim has going at the Sassy Jack Stitchery. So get over to the website, or if you can, get in your car and drive to Asheville, North Carolina, and see that place. She's really, really enthusiastic and committed, and it's really exciting what she's doing. So, okay, so that 30-second commercial has now become 4 minutes. So yay for you, Kim. All right, so we got two parts to this. First, we want to talk about this limited edition sampler that Hands Across the Sea is introducing, Sarah Brazier 1829. And then we're going to, Nicola's going to kind of take us through, for all you people who've not done samplers or only done them on a limited basis reproduction, kind of what she does to put one together and get started so she can stitch and some tips. And she has a couple videos that you can use, but just going to get people who are new to this little world started. But this sampler, holy smokes, I love it. And this and another giant one, Nicola. 40.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
Giant.
Yes.
But I'm 40 count. To have enough room for framing is 30 inches wide. So yes, big.
The important information on size is that she's 487 stitches wide by 482 stitches high. She's a square sampler, which I love square samplers. They're very, they look really nice on your sampler wall, a square sampler. Mm-hmm. And this sampler, she has covered practically every part of her linen. There's so much going on in there. There's over 70,000 cross stitches, but there's probably just as many satin stitches. And I'm afraid I haven't counted the satin stitches. And I'm not going to either.
Well, I think that, I mean, the thing is literally packed. But to me, the first thing I saw and the thing my eyes will not leave is that border. That's really unique, isn't it?
Isn't it just? When I first saw this sampler, or the antique sampler, my eyes went straight to that border. Now, people listening to the show will be able to see a photograph of the border on your site. And what makes this border unique is this double border of satin stitches, and it's like a mosaic block. And in between these two borders, which act like a picture frame, there's a beautiful band or vine filled with all sorts of flowers. But it's those satin stitched blocks that just, they're wow. And the colours in them are just delicious. They really are.
Yeah, now you said you have two other samplers that have this border?
No, not the border. I have two other samplers that have the bower that's in the sampler.
Oh, okay.
And I've never seen a border like this before. And I, you know, it's just so unique. It just gives the sampler the wow factor. But the bower in the center of the sampler was the second thing that caught my eye, and I thought, oh, I have two other samplers with this bower in. And it's not the heart or what's in the bower, it's the arch of the bower. The other two samplers I have, one is dated 1811 and the other one is dated 1812, which is 18 and 17 years before this one. And the other two bowers, they are identical stitch for stitch to each other. Hmm. And the one sampler, it comes with a very extensive family history. And we know that this little girl that stitched this first sampler I acquired was born in Sawtrey in Cambridgeshire. So when I came by the second sampler, I looked in this area and I found the maker of the second sampler. So when I acquired Sarah Brazier, I focused my search in Cambridgeshire and I found her being born in Little Shelford in 1816. And she was christened on the 7th of July. So it's possible that Sarah may have had the same needlework teacher as the other two samplers. But if it wasn't the same needlework teacher, it must have been somebody that was taught under the needlework teacher that taught the other two girls. because you know, these bowers are so distinctive, very eye-catching.
Yeah, this, I think that is one of the fun things as people like you who see a lot of samplers and you start to be able to pick out the different design motifs and
right.
things and tie them together. And actually, I got to believe it can make kind of a crude tree of people who have descended from some teacher.
Yes, I think, you know, a lot of motifs are locational. You know, you can pinpoint them to certain parts of the country. It's like with Elizabeth Furness, who's in our collection and we've reproduced. From researching her, I found a whole series of samplers that were stitched in Sheffield. And, you know, by putting together the family history on all of these girls, we know that that house and Adam and Eve tree that appears in Elizabeth Furness is unique to the city of Sheffield and a particular school there. This is the wonderful thing about the power of the internet, that as people are connecting and they're sharing information, you know, you can link up these samplers and, you know, find that there are connections. It's important to share knowledge.
Yes. And I love the way in the chart book, now you're really tying this to this, the introduction of this, to two things. You're calling her the Queen of the May, and you give a background
right.
on May Day. And then also the timing of the introduction is coordinated with the upcoming royal wedding. And so you're really tying a whole bunch of things together here. It's kind of fun.
Well, in fact, this sort of relates back to Sassy Jacks. When I was there in January, the theme of my lecture was samplers being used as a tool to educate. And we were talking about different samplers and different formats. And I mentioned about samplers that were lists of kings and queens. And one of the people who were attending said, why don't you do a sampler that's themed kings and queens? So I had that in the back of my mind. And another thing that Sandra and I have been wanting to do for quite some time is bring out a sampler sort of mid-year, that's a very special sampler. And then, you know, you start thinking and cogitating and ideas come to mind. Now, in England, there's a tradition that goes back to the classical word. It goes way past back in, you know, in medieval times, about May Day and the May rituals. And one of those rituals in villages is that they pick a beautiful young maiden out of all the pretty girls in the village, and she's crowned Queen of the May. And it's a great honour to be crowned Queen of the May, a little bit like your prom queen. You know, it's something that you'll be remembered for, maybe for the rest of your life, that, you know, you were honoured as the prom queen or the Queen of the May. So what we would like to do is every May, the first day of May, release a chart that is, or a sampler that's not just beautiful, but outstandingly beautiful. And I think Sarah is a very, very special sampler. She has so much impact, and, you know, you could look at her for hours and you could still see something different about her. So taking the theme of kings and queens, we were planning to bring out this sampler in on May Day. And then, lo and behold, the royal wedding, the date was announced as the 19th of May. So this all seemed to fit in quite nicely.
Great. That's
so
great.
The sampler is actually dedicated to Prince Harry and Meghan as a celebration of their wedding. And it might be possible that some of the ladies and gentlemen who stitch Sarah, they might want to dedicate their sampler to the royal wedding as well. Samplers have to be dedicated to something.
Why not? Yeah. You know, the thing that I found most interesting about this, when I read the history, is that she comes from an area that was designated a royal forest. And once you know that and then look at the sampler, it's just full of forest animals and motifs. That is the real plus of the whole thing.
Absolutely. And in the center of the bower rests a stag, or we would call the stag a hart. And a hart is a red deer that's more than 5 years old. And, you know, I think that why she's put the hart in there is because of the connection with the royal forest. But having said that, a hart is also a symbol for Christ. I think that stags are sort of known, or in early bestiaries, they describe the stag as a relentless enemy of snakes. And because the snake is the symbol of Satan, and the stag's war against them made the stag a symbol of Christ. And then in the Old Testament, King David makes the stag a symbol of the soul's longing to God. In Proverbs 42:1, as the hart pants after the fountains of water, so my soul pants after thee. And apparently, because of this proverb, you see a lot of stags on baptismal fonts and communion rails and chalices. So she may have picked the stag as a Christian symbol, but I rather suspect that stag is because she grew up in this area, which was a royal forest. And royal forests came into being with William the Conqueror. And at one stage in England, a third of southern England was designated as royal forests. And in the 12th century, the whole of Essex was a royal forest. And then in 1154, Henry II, he designated the whole of Huntingdonshire as a royal forest. Now, Henry II was married to Eleanor of Aquitaine, and his son was Richard the Lionheart, who ties in with Robin Hood, in history. And in the royal forest, they belonged to the king, and all the forest was protected by special forest laws. So I think this is where a lot of these motifs come from. She's creating, all the animals that she would have seen in the forest. And, there's just so much in this sampler. Whenever you look at it, you see something else. It's quite amazing. The little girl had a very active imagination. And the other thing, she wasn't always quite right with her stitching. The sampler is not symmetrical. Even the beautiful basket that sits in the centre of the top border, just underneath the top border in the centre, the handles on the side of that basket, they're very different each side.
I'm gonna have to pay attention.
Oh, you are. When you're stitching the vine, you have to count every section of it because there are lots and lots of differences. And what we've tried to do, when there's something that you think, oh, my gosh, she couldn't possibly have stitched that like that, we have marked it as Sarah stitched it. But it's a sample. When you're counting the vine, you must count each section, otherwise you're going to be wrong.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the biggest lessons I've learned in the sampler I'm working on, is to never assume symmetry or consistency.
Never ever.
I mean, I count everything 3 times before I stitch it, just because I've had to tear out so many things because I thought, well, it was 5 here and 5 here, so it must be 5 for the rest of the way, and it's not. And
no, no, it certainly won't be on this sampler. You have to keep on your toes. And Jacqueline Morris stitched the model for us, and you know, there was messages pinging back and forth. Is this right? Is this right? Because I said to her, now you check absolutely everything. And there are, you know, she was a, you know, she was a funny little girl set. Well, she wasn't so little. She was 13 when she finished it. Now, this sampler probably took her a very long time. So she may have been 10, 11, or 12 when she started it. But, you know, she had a few funny ideas. She obviously wasn't concentrating in parts.
Yeah, well, I don't blame her. She's a kid.
Yes. And the wonderful thing about this sampler, even though it's a very large sampler, it's a sampler that is suitable for all levels of ability. There is, it's mostly either cross stitch over two or straight satin stitch. There is a little bit of over one on the verse, but the verse is only two lines and her name and the date. So it, you know, it is very doable by everybody, and every single satin stitch has been marked on the chart, so it's all there for you to follow.
How do you determine that? How do you determine whether it's approachable by everyone or is really advanced? Is it the number of stitches beyond cross stitches?
No,
What do you go by?
I think really it's the complexity of the stitches, and this is not a complex sampler to stitch. It's a big sampler, but just because it's big doesn't mean it's beyond somebody who's, you know, in the early days of stitching. The size of the sampler depends by your determination to do something. You know, this is very, very doable. And if I was going to stitch this sampler, I would stitch it in the way that Jacqueline did, and she laid out the two double borders of satin stitch by stitching out the cross stitch edge to them. And she stitched out one all the way around. She matched up, and then after she had matched up, everything else just flowed from that point. She stitched the inner edge of the outer border, and then she stitched the inner satin stitched border in cross stitch. She left filling in those sort of tram lines, then, for want of a better word, to the very, very end. She loves satin stitched, and it was her reward for finishing the sampler that she had this lovely thing. And I know that Jackie actually stitched all those satin stitches on those two double tram lines then in a whole weekend. Her needles were on fire.
Yeah. Well,
So I would get those two into place, and then I would fill in the vine. And this vine, because it counts differently, it undulates up and down, and you'll see in some spots the flowers on the vine touch the satin stitch blocks, and sometimes they don't. So, you know, they really are meandering. Once I've done that, I would stitch the bottom section, and I would stitch the line that runs below the heart right the way across, and then I've got that bottom panel to stitch. And then after I stitch that, I would start putting in the motifs that sit on that line that runs across underneath the heart, and then I would just work up. And you know, by doing that, you've got lots of reference points to make sure that you are positioning the motifs correctly.
Yeah, this is the last time you and I talked, and I was asking you, I'd done an alphabet all the way across twice, and I asked you if that got old, and the tip you said was to not do the alphabet all the way across, to do other things. And I've taken that to heart, and it has changed the enjoyment of doing the sampler for me, because I literally do that. Okay, I've done this kind of a thing for a while. I'm going to go over here and do this little bit just to have a different color and a different set of X's to stitch. And this this Sarah Brazier sampler is one of those where you could, once you establish those reference points, you can jump all over the place, and there's just a million things to stitch.
You know, there's bees, there's butterflies, there's moths, there's all sorts of birds, you know, peacocks to doves to partridges to grouse. I think there's two very big birds at the top, are possibly phoenixes rising. You know, I'm not 100% certain, but to me, they look like that. And then flowers, there's all sorts of flowers. And then there's squirrels and deers and, well, there's dogs. There's everything, you know. And you know, there's two crowns, which again may tie into the royal forest. And there's tiny little birds, you know, that you just sort of see in, you know, when you look at a seascape and you see seagulls in the distance, they're just, you know, every spare space, there's a little tiny bird stitched in. They were hard to chart. Counting them out. not, it wasn't hard to chart the little birds, but it was hard working out all the positions. I needed lots of counting pins when I was doing this.
Yeah. So that's how, okay, that's a good question there. Is that how you, because that's got to be the biggest challenge, is positioning all these things. So you have counting pins going in all over the place to keep track?
I do. When this was stitched on very, very fine linen, and it was very hard to see the linen, so I used counting pins, and they are a godsend. Like, you know, if you have a sampler that's stitched on, you know, a linen that's easily, you know, you can easily see the threads, you don't need them. But counting pins are an invaluable tool for a reproductionist.
Yeah. This other thing about this sampler is there are so many of these elements that could be stitched on their own.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you could have fun all day long just pulling out little flower pots and things and just making them their own little piece.
Yes. Yeah. And even that little bottom section where her name appears, that sort of arcade of flowers, that would be beautiful by itself.
Right.
That would be absolutely gorgeous. But there really is just so much to delight about this sampler. We felt that she was very worthy to be our first Queen of the May. Now, in her chart is themed a celebration of the kings and queens of Great Britain. And as samplers were used as a tool to educate, we thought it would be rather fun to take you through all the kings and queens of England, and we started with Henry II, who established the Royal Forest in Huntingdon. It just seemed an appropriate king to start with. And we take you through with royal trivia on every king and queen of England up to Elizabeth II. So when you're stitching, there's lots of information for you, or little bits of trivia for you to learn about the English royal family and their ancestors.
Yeah, there is quite a history there. And I read it all, Nicola, every word of it.
You did, didn't you?
I did, darn right.
Good.
Every word. No, it's interesting how that all ties together, especially when you tie in the Royal Forest, and then you can bring it and connect it right to Sarah. It's a neat thing.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So the booklet is 44 pages, and because Sarah is such a big sampler, we felt that although the photograph on the front cover is beautiful, we felt that she deserved a centre spread. So if you open up the booklet and the centre pages, there's a very large photograph of the sampler spread over the two pages, and I hope that stitchers will enjoy being able to study the model in such detail, and it will help them when they're stitching it as well. And then she comes with a bookmark. These bookmarks that we introduced at Nashville on Eliza Bell, Cox and Hannah Gaskell have proved so popular that we're going to be doing that on all our samplers in the future.
Yeah, those things have been a huge hit. They're a great idea. And because Christine and I talked about that on one of our shows, the bookmark, yeah. And you list, like in this one, you list all 23 colors and write on a bookmark. I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It helps keep organized.
It does, doesn't it? And also having the stitch instructions on the back as well. You know, if you need to, how to do something, they're there for you. I think it's very useful. And, I've lost track of the number of messages and emails we've had from people saying how much they love them. So all our charts will come with this in the future. And, of course, the bookmarks are linked in with the charts. You know, the artwork that follows through the booklet will follow through on the bookmark as well. And Sarah comes with 5 pages of history. It's a story. Again, we want to use these our samplers as they were originally as a tool to educate. So there's lots of interesting little bits of information that you'll find in the story of the sampler besides the theme of the booklet. So we hope that people will enjoy that. It's a limited edition because of the size. It was a big project to print this booklet, and when they were delivered from the printers, my husband said, "You're not taking those upstairs because you will definitely be through the ceiling." So the boxes have taken over our home. The limited edition, it's 1,500 copies. We've tried to get them out to lots of stockists. Unfortunately, the Uffendale sisters took us all by surprise, and we just couldn't get them out to stores in time before they were sold out. But for people who are interested in securing a copy, contact your needlework store to see if they've got some copies, and hopefully they will, or it can be purchased directly off our website. We announced on April the 20th that this release was coming, and she will officially be sold from the 1st of May, which is May Day, the day of the May Queen. But you can pre-order from your store, and you can pre-order from my website. If your store hasn't got it, they won't get it, because it's only the stores that pre-ordered that managed to get copies. Unfortunately, we had there was stores wanted more of the wholesale allowance than was available, but hopefully if people are quick, they will secure a copy either through their store or through us.
Okay, and then so, and for sure there'll be a supply at Sassy Jack's and at the Attic.
Yes, the Attic Needleworks and Sassy Jack's and Traditional Stitches, they've been long supporters of Hands Across the Sea samplers, and they've got good supplies. But there are many other stores as well that have good supplies, and there are stores that have just had a couple. Unfortunately, there just wasn't enough to go around. 1,500 copies worldwide do not go far. But it was, what I could manage to do. If you try sitting down and packing 1,500 copies, Gary, that's the downside of reproducing. Yeah. It's the bit I don't like. I like spending time working on the either the antique sampler or the model, or putting the story together and the research, packing charts into cellophane bags. It's
not
very
so
monotonous.
not so much. Talk about I'm always intrigued by how you acquire these samplers. Did you get this through an auction, a conventional auction?
Yes. I bought Sarah through an auction. If it wasn't for the beautiful border and the bower, I could have missed her, but those two things caught my eye. The original sampler is faded, and the greens have run on the original sampler. But when it came and I took her out of the frame and I looked at the back, it was, oh my gosh, how beautiful. Mm. The back colours are very, very strong still on the sampler, but the front is, they've mellowed considerably. The colours that we've reproduced her on are the front colours, although on a few of the pale pink flowers, the threads had literally faded to nothing. So we had to, revert to the back to see what the colours were meant to be and then translate them through to the front. But I'm absolutely thrilled how she's turned out. You know, she is magnificent. And if there's people who like to stitch for competitions, this is a blue ribbon sampler if ever there was.
Why do you think so?
She's just so impressive. You know, she has such impact. And of course, as well, she's a good sampler to demonstrate how neat you stitch. When you've got so much straight satin stitch, there is an art to laying satin stitch. I've got a video on my YouTube channel if anybody wants some tips about stitching satin stitch. And also, if somebody wants some tips and tricks about setting up their linen, there's a very good video that we've done that talks you through all the steps you should take before you start to stitch on your linen. So that's, if somebody is a beginner, have a look at our YouTube channel and see some of the videos that we have there. There's lots of videos about samplers, but there are videos as well of, how to do something.
What are the basic things that you do with a piece of linen just to get ready to stitch? How do you set that up?
Well, I think one of the most important things that you learn, because unfortunately a lot of us have been caught, is that when you get a piece of linen, don't presume that it's been cut straight. I've bought pieces of linen before now that when I've squared them up, I realise they've really been cut on an angle. Well, of course, it could mean that you literally run out of linen to stitch on. So always check that your linen has been cut on the straight, and always triple check that your linen is the right size. There's been many stitches caught short. They've literally run out of fabric because the size of linen they're stitching on was wrong for their sampler. That is so important.
And in your measurements, you give 3 inches on a side, on each side for framing, right?
Yes, because that's a nice, generous measurement. But, we don't we like to frame close to the edge of the stitching because that's how most of these samplers were, the originals were framed. But obviously you have to accommodate or work into your equation how much linen you want to show. We call them a mount. I think, do you call them mat boards? When you've got you might want a mat board. You have to think before you start how you wish to frame your sampler. If you go onto the Hands Across the Sea Samplers website and go into Sewing Basket and Tools, we have a calculator and you can put in there the width and the height, the stitch count. You can put in the stitch count of your linen and it'll work out your size for you. You tell it how much you want for finishing and how much you want for your border, and it will just calculate it all for you. So that's always, it's well worth triple checking your calculations. Many of us have run into problems.
So you take your piece of linen and you make sure it's cut square, or cut it square, get it squared up.
Yes.
And then
That's right.
do you serge it on the edges, or what do you do with the edges?
Yes, I always serge the edges because they do fray otherwise. And the other really important thing is if you're stitching a sampler that's not square, a rectangular sampler, make sure you have your linen in the right orientation.
Oops.
Yes.
That's important. That is very important.
Yeah, that could be ugly.
Yes. And again, it's happened to many of us. We find that we're wrong because we have the linen the wrong way around.
Yeah, that would be really irritating.
Yeah, because, we get a chart, we get the linen, we get the threads. We want to start, we want to get that first stitch in, so we rush. But if you rush at the beginning, you could pay for it at the end. You've always got to do your preparation.
And how do you figure out positioning on the piece of linen? Do you find the center and then top center, or do you just measure in 3 inches from top and side and start? How do you go about that? What's your technique?
There's nothing wrong in starting in the center. Many people do. And if you want to start in the center, you fold your linen in half and then you fold it in half again. And then you have your center point, which you mark. But I like to start top left-hand corner. So I go, if I was using a 3-inch margin, I go three across and three down, and that will give me my starting point.
Okay.
Um,
I
so
love you. Starting at the top
do
left, that's my favorite spot.
you? Just seems the most sense. We've talked about this before. It's the
Yep.
way we're taught to read, isn't it? Top left-hand corner.
Yep.
And
Yeah.
unless we're Chinese.
And we never did explore that. We got to find that
No,
out.
we never
Yes.
explored that, did we?
Do the
Yes.
Chinese work right to left? We got to find that out. Yep.
Well, actually, next week I'm meeting a stitcher who's coming over from the east, and I'm meeting her in Truro for lunch. So I will have to ask her where
Okay.
she starts. I will write myself a note
It's
about
on you. It's on
that.
you, Nicola. We need a report.
Right, I'll report back.
Now, do you grid?
No.
No.
No, but what I
Just go
will
for it.
do, what I will do, if I'm working on a band sampler, and because I'm working on a roller frame, I will baste a line down both sides purely so I know where my starting point is and my ending point. I know a stitcher many years ago, she was stitching a very long sampler on a roller frame, and when she was about three quarters of the way down, she happened to unroll it and she realized that bit by bit she'd moved in a stitch,
Oh no. Oh
and
no.
rather than being straight down, her sampler literally was stepping across as she'd gone down the sampler. So that's something I've always been very conscious of. So I always run a baseline down each side, but I don't grid across. But again, it's a good tip if you find you have, problems with positioning. I always think that good groundwork is important. It could save you time in the future. And certainly, if I stitched one of the Heaven and Earth designs, my gosh, I would certainly grid then because those are so complex.
Yeah, I'd have that gridded. Now, Christine, the needlepoint you're working on, you gridded that one. Have you found that's helping you?
Yes, mostly because it helps me pinpoint when I've messed up. I'm finding more that I use it to double check what I've done, and I probably should use it more to preview what I'm going to do. But it's a good check and balance, I think, to as I'm stitching these motifs because it's a piece that has sort of large motifs spread out on a background. So as those motifs start going in, I can sort of double check where I am and make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And it gives me, if nothing else, a little degree of comfort that I'm not going to end up like your friend that once I finish, that I'm going to find something, is terribly wrong, and then I'll have to rip out a lot more than I would normally. So yes, I have found it is helpful for this. I don't know that I would do it for everything, but for something that's going to require extreme precision between things, I would. For something where it was not absolutely critical that every single stitch go exactly where it needed to go, I probably wouldn't. And I guess it would depend on your degree of tolerance for something not being exactly the way it's supposed to be. For a reproduction sampler where the whole point of it is that it is exactly the way it was supposed to be, I might do so. And especially on something this large, because again, what you're risking is a tremendous amount of work that you will have to undo once you find out at the very end. So I like to be able to check as I go whether I'm still in good shape.
I'm liking that thing, that basting down the sides. I like that.
Even
idea.
Something as simple as that. Yeah. And I don't grid, I don't go every 10 stitches or anything like that. I grid pretty sparsely. So it's really just landmarks, basically, so that I can check where I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I baste down the side of a band sampler, I always put a little notch in every 10th stitch so that I know where my bands should be sitting. That's quite a good little tip. I don't stitch across, but I put a little notch so I know exactly where that 10th line is. And if I'm doing that, I always make sure that my 10th line is the 10th line of the graph.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you mean by a notch?
Where I'm stitching a basting line down, I would just, so that's a horizontal, sorry, that's a vertical stitch. I would just put a little horizontal stitch on the 10th.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a little notch in. So I've just got a little marker.
Oh, that's
handy. I find that quite useful. On a sampler like Sarah Brazier, I would be using elements within the design as my reference points. But, you know, there are some samplers that are very difficult to get reference points, particularly when you start. And that's when gridding and baselines will be useful. Nothing's ever cast in stone. You have to judge each project as it is, and adapt your stitching style to suit that project.
Yeah,
I think,
but
that's quite important.
Having that on the edges, is particularly for, as you described, the border for Sarah Brazier, to have that on the edges as an ongoing reference point, that would be really handy, I think.
Yes, you could do. You could baste out that very outside, the tram line on that satin stitch block border to get your square, and then everything will just slot in from that. It would be very heartbreaking to get around there and that border didn't match up.
Oh boy.
Although Jackie, when she stitched it, she met up perfectly first time.
That's one of the great victories, isn't it? Get all the way around. And
Absolutely.
Now, you do everything in silk, but everything you stitch is done in silk. But there's, I mean, these samplers, you have colors for DMC, too. There's no reason people can't do them with DMC floss and get a very nice result.
Absolutely. Everybody should use what they're comfortable with, and it doesn't have to be what I use. You use what you like working with, and don't be afraid to change colors. This sampler should be your sampler, and you make it your own. There'll be people who want to stitch it true, and it's there, it's a very accurate reproduction for those people, but never be afraid to use what you like. Eliza Bell Cox, there's a stitch along just started for her on Facebook. And the lady who's organized that, Julie Evans, she's arranged with Victoria Motto to dye some threads specifically for this stitch along. And you can find details of that stitch along on Facebook. It's called Eliza Bell Cox Sal. So just put that in and it'll pop up. I think there's over 200 people stitching her. It starts June the 1st. So people have got lots of time to kit up beforehand. And that's going to be an exciting to see everybody's interpretation, because people have gone for different linens. Some have gone for silks, some have gone for DMC, and many stitchers have bought these special thread packs as well. So it'll be really nice to see everybody's samplers as they're coming along.
Yeah, I think that's fun. That's really building some momentum, that stitch along for that sampler. Yes.
Yes, she's a very beautiful sampler, though.
Yes, she is. She certainly.
You saw
is.
Her at Nashville, Gary.
Yep. That's the standout for me from what you had at Nashville, is that one right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's been really popular. And, of course, Amy Cam, little Amy.
Yep.
She took everybody by surprise.
Yes. No, that's a good group. That's a good group, no doubt about it, the ones you had there. But and following this one up, now, Sarah Brazier, and then do we have something else on the horizon for us?
There's lots of samplers being stitched at the moment.
She's got an army all over the world stitching their brains out.
No, there's lots of really interesting samplers on the go. You shouldn't have favorites, but there's one that's, oh my God. It's just so beautiful. It really, really is, that I'm extremely excited about. I'm not sure when that's going to be released, because this year I've got three teaching appointments that I'm having to work, you know, preparing things for. And my husband and I are having a couple of holidays, so that sort of cuts down time. But there's lots of really interesting samplers, very varied samplers, because what I want to try and do is keep on adding breadth to our portfolio. There's many, many exciting things happening. I'm just actually, if I wasn't doing this recording today, I would just be putting in the last few stitches on a reproduction that's going to be going, the graph is going to be going off to a model stitcher in America. And she is a sampler with lots of wow factor and lots of stitches as well. It's so hard because, you know, you want to tell everybody what you're doing and show these samplers, but it's also nice to sort of reveal them when they're ready to go.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm sure you get to the point where you can't say anything, but you just want to tell everybody.
You do. You know, in the build up with Sarah, we've been dying to sort of say, look, everybody, look at Sarah. Isn't she beautiful? Because she just, you know, when I took her to the framer, the people in the shop go, oh, my God. And she generated so much interest in the framers that one lady who hasn't cross-stitched for years is going to stitch her. Mm-hmm. And then when the photographer saw her, he was, oh, my gosh, Nicola, this is absolutely fabulous. And I think his love of this sampler really shows in the photograph that he took. The printers were really exciting when they saw the booklet that we had put together. And I do think the booklet for Sarah is probably one of our best yet. Mm-hmm. It was a joy. It was an absolute joy to put it together.
These samplers, they just keep showing up. It seems like there's an endless supply of them. Do you see any end to the availability?
Well, I got caught out today because I had a delivery of samplers coming, and I was expecting them to come after my husband had left for golf, but they came before he left for his golf. I've had five beautiful samplers come today. This evening I'm going to be getting the magnifier glass and have a good study. I think there's one that we will probably reproduce out of the five. But that's a story for another day, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure your husband just rolls his eyes, gets his golf bag, and leaves. Just...
well, you met him at Nashville, yeah. Didn't you? He loved Nashville. He loved meeting all the ladies, and he loved seeing how enthusiastic everybody is. I think he realized that I'm not a freak. You know, it's not just me who loves needlework. There are lots of other ladies as well.
Yeah, I think we're.
What did you think?
We're putting some points on the board for sainthood for him, though, I think, yeah.
Did you enjoy Nashville?
Oh, I did very much, yeah. It was so much fun to see all the new introductions and, you know, anybody who suggests that needlework is a dying hobby needs to go to a show like that and see that there's enthusiasm across the board for all kinds, not just for samplers, but for all kinds of needlework and new things. And you know, you see the shop owners going around buying, you know, with their wagons buying charts all over the place, and that's not to me, that's not a dying hobby, that's a hobby that is moving forward.
Don't the store owners work so hard at Nashville getting from room to room?
Yeah
they really do. Like I left Nashville absolutely exhausted. I was completely spent, but at the same time, I was so infused that, you know, as I went away in the taxi from the hotel, I was thinking about next year and planning the releases for next year.
Well, you get an, you know, as you sit there in your home working on that and putting them in cellophane bags and all those things. It at some point, I'm sure, is a bit of a grind, as enthusiastic as you are. But then when you get to a show like that and get to talk to fellow designers and charters and then store owners who are excited to deliver these things to their customers, it really gives you a shot of adrenaline. I mean, it just does. Yeah. And you, I can imagine for somebody like you, you do go home just really pumped up about what you can do next.
Absolutely. And packing those 1,500 charts for Sarah, my husband worked out it took over 50 hours.
Oh, jeez.
It's the bookmarks that make it so long, Gary. Those bookmarks, the tassels, when you slide them into the cellophane bag, the tassels go all staticky with electricity, and you're having to try to calm them down. But what I've been thinking is, even though it's monotonous, you know, like the first 10 were okay, but the next 1,490 were monotonous. I just kept on thinking about the thrill that somebody's going to get when they open that bag and they pull the sampler out and they open the cover and they dive in and discover what's inside. So that kept me going.
Right, yeah.
But I don't want to see a cellophane bag for a while.
Well, but and that is just it for any chart. I mean, that's that first shot of excitement when you buy a chart, is taking it out of its sleeve and opening it up and starting to explore what you're going to stitch. That's that first shot, and then the cloth and the thread.
Don't forget, before you open the cover, you've got to stroke the front.
Oh, is that?
Because it feels nice.
Okay, I'm not sure I'm going to do that.
Oh, it does. It always feels lovely in the hand. That's why I always have the booklets square bound, just so they sit nice when you open them.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah. And then when your linen and silks come, it's lovely as well.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many steps of excitement before you even put in the first stitch. Getting the threads, lining them all up, and seeing where they're going to go in the chart, and getting that linen. To me, just getting the ground cloth prepared is fun.
Yes.
Yeah, get it all ironed and edged and ready in the scroll frame and ready to go. I think that's as much fun as anything.
Have you tried your new sidebars?
Tried them.
Yes.
From the minute I brought them home, they've been in full use.
Good.
They're perfect.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm perfect. So pleased.
Should have listened to you the first time and got the short ones. Yep.
But you've got both now. So
yep.
I do use my medium-sized ones. You'd be surprised when you do. But the short ones are great for every day.
Yeah. Oh,
there
yeah,
we are.
Now I stitch right side up. It's so nice.
Yeah. Good.
All right, Nicola, we got to end this thing.
Yes.
Thanks so much for joining us again. And thanks to Sassy Jack Stitchery for sponsoring the show. Really appreciate it. And that's in 30 North Main Street, Weaverville, North Carolina, sassyjacksstitchery.com. Hey, if you're anywhere near North Carolina, get your car over there and stop in and see Kim. She has some of the original samplers from hats, right?
She does, yes. She has many of our original samplers.
Yeah, and models.
And that's right. And, you know, what fun is that to actually be able to go and stitch on a sampler when you're looking at the original sampler? That's just such a treat to be able to do that.
Yeah, and Kim is, that shop is cooking along. She has people in stitching in the shop during the day. I forget what day it is, but you know, bring your stuff and sit down and stitch and talk to Kim, and she's just really enthusiastic, and it's a lot of fun to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And then they got the house that they're remodeling coming up there. They'll be moving into that, so looking forward to that too.
Yeah, the Bard House is very exciting. But the shop they're in at the moment, another lovely thing about visiting the shop is they have a quilt store right next door as well.
And a bakery.
The bakery was really lovely. I can't believe the size of your portions in America.
Yeah, we do that, yeah. But that's a trifecta of trouble there, a bakery, a quilt shop, and a needlework shop. That's just big trouble.
And there's also a really nice burger place as well.
Oh, there is.
Yes.
So this is like a self-contained, self-entertainment center right there.
Yeah. There we are.
Okay, I'm going to go get in my car. I'm driving right now.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll see you there in August.
Okay, Nicola. Thanks to you. Thanks to Sassy Jacks. And Christine and I will be back on Wednesday.